I just know all these HQs would be my best friend.
You love a high society woman.
I love a high society woman. No job, wine in the afternoon.
Ladies who lunch.
Shrimp cocktail, pearls.
Blazers.
Goes to yoga, goes to Pilates.
Is probably into philanthropy.
Probably on a couple pills.
Ah, oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
Hello and welcome to Back to You, Bob, Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 306, Secrets and Lies, which originally aired on November 10th, 1999.
I cannot believe we're six episodes in already.
That's actually insane. It was just season two.
It was just season one. It was just, we didn't even have a podcast.
Oh my gosh. We were just little teenagers.
Well, what are we drinking during episode 306, Secrets and Lies?
We are drinking a drag queen. 1.5 ounces of orange juice, 4 ounces of 7-Up or Sprite, 1 ounce of vodka, and 3 dashes of cherry juice. And I don't want to trigger you, but I'm drinking out of a coupe.
You know what? Your drink actually looks amazing. I already noticed it. That's a cute coupe, though. Some drinks are okay in a coupe, but I just like don't want my like martini in a coupe, you know?
I do. I get it.
All right. I'm going to dive into the recap.
Perfect. Tell us.
So episode 306, Secrets and Lies, opens at Capeside High, where Dawson and Jen are chatting about how she was named Homecoming Queen a few episodes ago, because this is the big Homecoming Gala week. She talks about how her mom was Homecoming Queen, which led to a life of being a debutante with high tees and being a New York socialite. And that's just not Jen at all. She hates all of this uptight traditional nonsense. It just perpetuates toxicity and phoniness. Mr. Milo approaches and introduces Jen to all of the former homecoming queens from Capeside High history. They're so happy to meet Jen, and we can tell that this is Jen's nightmare. Jen gets paired with the oldest living homecoming queen alumna, Miss Constance, to host the gala. Miss Constance is so excited. She's heard so much about Jen. And Gail even comes back to Capeside to cover the homecoming gala and asks Dawson to be her plus one, which upsets Mitch. And it turns out that Henry is actually Miss Constance's houseboy, next-door neighbor, and friend. He does work for her. So Jen and Henry bond because Jen has zero interest in helping with the gala. And it turns out that Henry was actually the one who talked Jen up and sang Jen's praises to Miss Constance. So he tells Jen that Miss Constance doesn't have much going on and she doesn't have much to live for or celebrate. She was never married, she never had kids, but she lives for this gala. Henry convinces Jen to get involved and get excited about the planning, and Jen invites Henry to be her date. Miss Constance puts Jen in charge of entertainment for the gala, but she has a lot of rules and perimeters around it. And she also has a nice dress for Jen. So Dawson, meanwhile, learns from the town gossip that his mom isn't just in town for the gala. She was fired from her Philadelphia news station for being too old. She wasn't really registering with the viewers. So he urges Gail to just be honest with Mitch and try to broach a friendship with him. Later, we see that Gail takes Dawson's advice and confides in Mitch. Now, Pacey, meanwhile, has arranged for the police auxiliary to help with an addition in Joey and Bessie's house. Pacey and Joey get to talking, and Joey fills Pacey in on everything that happened last week, where she was fired because she third-wheeled the date with her boss, Rob Logan. And Pacey asks her who that friend was, and he kind of has to drag it out of Joey, but she eventually does tell him that her boss was on a date with Andy. And Pacey is devastated that Andy's moved on. Later, at school, Andy seems bothered to find out that Pacey and Joey had breakfast. But Joey says that they need all the help they can get since she was fired, basically because of Andy. Joey warns Andy about Rob once again and says that Andy's going to get a big fat I told you so and it's over. That night, Joey and Pacey receive a distressing call from Andy, who's at a party with Rob, and she tells them that Rob wouldn't take no for an answer. It's really scary and she just wants to go home. So they go to the party and Pacey ends up punching Rob, who claims that nothing happened with Andy. Later that night, Andy tries to kiss Pacey and he says they can't for many reasons. Andy makes an emotional plea to him and she eventually convinces him to return the kiss and they spend the night together. The next day, Andy is all in, but Pacey's face reads like maybe he has some regrets. So Rob goes to Joey's and tells her that he doesn't know what happened last night, but Andy was the one who came on to him. And then she started freaking out over nothing. He says that he didn't force himself on Andy or anyone. Andy is clearly unstable, he claims. Andy, meanwhile, tells Joey that maybe something good came from all of this. She and Pacey are back together. Joey is shocked. This, combined with the fact that Andy doesn't seem bothered at all about what happened the night before, sets the alarm bells off for Joey. So when alone, Pacey tells Andy that last night shouldn't have happened. It feels like he went against what he knew was right. She says she's so sorry for cheating on him this summer, and he says that maybe what she did wasn't so wrong, because if she cheated, maybe it means that he isn't the one. Maybe that's what her heart was trying to tell her, because that's what his is saying right now. Andy runs out crying, and she goes to Joey, and she accuses her of telling Pacey that Andy might have been crying wolf. Joey admits that yes, it crossed her mind, but she never believed it, and she certainly didn't tell Pacey. Joey says that Andy is a good person, and she knows Andy would never do that. Andy freaks out and tells Joey that she's capable of anything when she sets her mind to something. Andy admits that she would do anything to get Pacey back, which kind of blurs the lines for the audience about what's the truth, and we see that Andy is still a little lost. At the gala, Jen and Henry show up. It's super inappropriate attire, and Jen brings in the entertainment, which are a bunch of drag queens. Miss Constance is horrified, but secretly, she actually loves it. She loves the music, and she loves the queens. Jen admits later to Miss Constance that she did want to tank the evening, but she actually ended up having some fun, and now she sees the appeal of the gala. Miss Constance admits that she had fun, too. She tells Jen a story about a man who let her on and broke her heart when she was 17, and she never recovered. That's why she never married. She asks Jen not to lead Henry on if she doesn't return his feelings. So Jen tells Henry that she just wants to be friends and he needs to experience so much more, so much heartbreak in life, like she has. He says it's clear that she hasn't experienced love and she should give him a chance. Jen essentially says until she learns to love herself, she can't love anyone else. And Henry says that heartbreak that she just said earlier that he should experience, well, he just did. He got his first heartbreak. And that is episode 306, Secrets and Lies.
Drama. Drama.
Drama. Drag queens. Orchids.
We've got it all.
We're in a greenhouse. We're at the gala.
Love a gala.
And that is why we're drinking a drag queen. But who wrote this, Secrets and Lies?
This episode was written by Greg Berlanti and Alex Gonza. Greg Berlanti is back with us. We've talked about him at length. He was last with us in episode 302, Homecoming. And this is, we've discussed Alex Gonza. He's the showrunner of this season. This is actually his only writing credit on the series, this script that he shares with Greg Berlanti. But obviously he was in the room and running the room and having a hand in all of the scripts. He was a producer on this season. He also wrote and produced on The X-Files. He produced on Numbers, Entourage, and 24. And then he created and was showrunner on Homeland.
One of my faves.
I've actually never watched it. That's been on my list for such a long time.
That's crazy. Homeland is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Showtime is one of those things that I like never have access to. I should pay for it for a month and binge.
I think you can get it through like Paramount Plus now. You can get like a $2.99 add-on, or I think maybe there's like an Amazon Showtime add-on. I don't know. But there's various ways you can get it.
Yeah. I should do that and knock out a bunch.
Yeah, Homeland's great. And like we said, he is the showrunner. And it's very interesting that we're six episodes in and this is the first episode he's written. But he's just been busy showrunning.
It's a big job.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it, but like showrunners are the person on a show that everything runs through. Every decision runs through, every costume, every set deck, everything goes through this person. So
yes,
it's busy.
So the showrunner is having meetings all day with wardrobe, approving casting, approving props, approving former cuts of the show. So while he was writing 306, he might have been watching a cut of 301, giving notes, breaking 307, 308.
Yep.
I think the biggest skill you need as a showrunner, which we actually have experience doing now because of this podcast, it's living in the episode that you're recording today, but working on the episode for next week, editing it, and then the episode that you're posting this week. It is a skill to kind of compartmentalize those things.
Absolutely. If you don't have a good assistant as a showrunner, I don't know how you function because you're literally scheduled usually to the minute. And it's like, okay, they're constantly needing to be like pointing, the assistant is pointing the showrunner in the right direction. It's a very undervalued position.
Yeah. And that's why when there are people who have multiple shows like Chuck Lorre, Shonda Rhimes, Ryan Murphy, that's why each show has a different showrunner. So sometimes people are, critical of a person shows, let's say Shonda, and they're comparing, you know, they're comparing Grey's to Bridgerton to Scandal, you know, all of those shows, How to Get Away with Murder, all of those shows have a different showrunner. Shonda is the final say, the executive producer, but all of those shows have a different voice because they each have a different showrunner. She's not showrunner of every show. That's
impossible.
I feel like, yeah, you can't. It's too much. Too muchy. Too muchy.
Too much.
Who directed this?
This episode was directed by Greg Prang, who we've also talked about at length. He was most recently with us on the season premiere, Like a Virgin, and he'll remain with us for the remainder of the series.
We love him.
We love him. He is a Bobby.
Bobby winner. And what about guest cast shout out this week?
Well, I'd like to just say Gail is back. So lovely to see her. But I'm giving the guest cast shout out to Kay Callan, who plays Miss Constance. She is a force. She has been working since 1962, and she's still working today. She has 149 acting credits. She's in Knives Out, Veep, Poker Face, Justified, How I Met Your Mother. Most recently, she was in a neo-noir film called So Torn in this year, 2024, that had some buzz at South by Southwest. I think that's incredible.
Stop it. She's not still alive.
She's still alive, and she's still in things.
No.
Yes.
I mean, first of all, you probably don't know the name. But you will know, you will absolutely 100% know her. How old is she?
She is 88 years old.
So when she did this, she was 58? No,
yes, she was
53. She was 62.
Look, we're not mathematicians, okay?
No offense, but she just looks so old for 62.
Well, that's the thing. I know that this was probably a TikTok 500 years ago, as we talked about on the last episode, because I've been watching YouTube shorts, but I just saw one that was like, people make fun of millennials for saying that we look good for our age, but look at the people that we had to look up to, and they're showing like Al Bundy and being like, he was 39. Like, yeah, I don't look like him. That's why I think I look good. You know, it was a different time. The Golden Girls were in their 50s.
True. Wow. Well, I'm glad she's alive.
Me too. She's alive and she's thriving.
I'm so glad she's thriving. What's that like?
Couldn't tell you. Well, maybe we'll get there by 88.
I don't want to be alive at 88. But anyway, let's not. Oh my God. Do you want to be alive at 90? Stop. Who wants that?
Yeah, you're right.
I don't want it. But I will say I was at the supermarket the other day and the hottest man is on the Depends package. I took a picture. Did I send it to you?
No, I did not know where you're going with that. I thought you were going to be like, the hottest man was in Depends. Grocery store.
They had this Depends package. This very good looking man is just sitting there in a diaper on the package. And I was like, this is the modern day equivalent of Joey being in the STD ad. Do you remember on Friends when like Joey was on that STD billboard?
Yes.
Poor guy. But anyway, the guy in the Depends package is hot.
Good for him.
Okay, so she's getting the guest cast shout out. So what about our music moments? There's so much music in this episode.
I want to just give it to It's Raining Men because the drag queens perform It's Raining Men. But in the version that I watched, it's some cheap song that obviously they couldn't get It's Raining Men back. And it was just really funny to me. And I think they did a really good job from an editing perspective. Like you could tell it wasn't exactly right, but it was pretty well aligned. And I just remember It's Raining Men so strongly because of the context of the scene. But I wanted to give it to it because I thought it was worth talking about. And that's why we've talked in the past about how like background actors and songs, anything that you hear on set isn't actually happening on set so that it's not tied to the dialogue. And this is a perfect example of why, because you want to be able to, if you have to switch something out, have the clean, like Jen and Henry talking to each other was clean with nobody talking behind them, nobody singing behind them. And that's so that if they have to change something, they're able to do that fairly easily.
Yeah, absolutely. As much as I love that song, I am going to give my music moment to Eve by Chantal Kravyazuk.
We've said it before and we'll say it again. We love Chantal Kravyazuk.
During the Andy Pacey scene, I love Chantal Kravyazuk. Drink every time I say Chantal Kravyazuk. I just love her.
I like that you say Kravyazuk.
I say it different every time. I love her. I'm going to do a deep dive in her and get back into her because you know what? She deserves it. She's Chantal Kravyazuk.
You should leave her albums playing while you sleep try to get her some streaming money.
Well, maybe we can get her on the pod.
Oh my God, reach out.
Reach out and touch faith. Is that what he says? I don't even know. Well, past versus present. You know what? I'm good for past versus present. You know, this show is so freaking ahead of its time. Drag queens, and I love drag queens now. You know, like I watch every country of Drag Race. I'm super obsessed with Drag Race. I love drag brunch. But at the time, I think it was like drag queens. I'm scared, like self-hating, homophobia kind of stuff happening.
Interesting.
So I don't think I really appreciated the drag queens at that time. And now I'm just like, yes. And their names were amazing, and we'll get into it.
Yes.
But that was my past versus present moment. I just love drag queens now, and I love drag, and I know so much more about it. And then I was like, this is like risque and icky because I'm like gay, and oh my God, that's like a step further than gay. And you know, how much time do you have?
We can make this a therapy session.
Let's just call in my therapist right now.
It wasn't my past versus present, but I just loved the drag queens. I at that time probably hadn't been to drag shows, so like now, like having been to them and like knowing the whole vibe, it was fun. And I'm dying for a Miss Freckling drag queen spinoff. That last scene with them sitting around the table doing shots, I was like, this is everything that I want. I want them all to move in a house together.
Maybe it'll happen. Maybe we should pitch it.
Do you think Christianity is still alive and working? Miss Rickling is.
Well, Warner Brothers, do we have a pitch for you? There were four drag queens in 1998 on an episode of Dawson's Creek 306, Secret and Lies. What if those drag queens had a spinoff?
What if they became care providers for an 88-year-old, what's her name, Clarence?
Constance.
Constance Freckling.
It's like Tu Wong Fu meets,
what's that movie with Kevin Hart and what's his name in a wheelchair? Bryan Cranston. You ever see that movie?
Oh my God. The drama? No, I didn't see it. For some reason, I thought you were talking about a comedy because my mind goes to comedy and I think of Kevin Hart, comedic genius.
The Upside.
The Upside. No, I didn't watch that. Oh my God. I had a meeting yesterday with someone who works in drama and he was like, teen shows where they felt like teens, but adults can watch it. And it wasn't like unbelievable. Is this what teens are doing now? Like a teen show where teens could watch it, adults can watch it. It was basically, he said, teens acting as adults with adult problems. And it wasn't like Euphoria and everyone like having sex and doing drugs. And I was like, oh, you mean like Felicity, Dawson's Creek, The OC, Gossip Girl, One Tree Hill? And he was like, exactly.
Is that what they're looking for?
That's like a mandate now. Yeah, they want to go back to some more grounded, you know. I wanted to say, I think The Summer I Turned Pretty is that, but I didn't want him to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. We don't need that.
You've solved it.
Yeah, so maybe we'll get some good teen dramas coming down the pike.
Let's pitch some.
For real. Well, let's open this sucker up.
Let's open it up. I love that the first thing they talked about in the episode is Jen's mom after coming off of last episode where they talked about Jen's mom. I did not clock that the first time around.
Oh, I did.
They say her mom was HQ, socially, right? Or she's following in, yes, her footsteps.
Okay, so Jen's mom was not a homecoming queen, but Jen's mom was Miss Cape Cod. So it's all in the same boat. It's high tea, junior league, socialite, debutante. And she tried to force it on Jen, and it's so not Jen. And this is Jen's nightmare. And she meets all these HQ alumna. But I have to ask this, right? They don't mention it in this episode, but we know that Dawson has the knowledge that Jen is a sister, that Jen's mom had a daughter. Mm-hmm. What do you do in this scenario if you're Dawson and you know that one of your friends has, like, how did he go this whole episode and not want to bring it up? Like, how did it not come up this whole episode?
Maybe he learned his lesson with Joey and her dad.
Oh, you're so good.
Because it is very Dawson to bring it up.
I just know all these HQs would be my best friend.
You love a high society woman.
I love a high society woman. No job, wine in the afternoon, sometimes the morning.
Ladies who lunch.
Shrimp cocktail, wine spritzer.
A country club.
Pearls, pins.
Blazers.
Scarves. Bangs, goes to yoga, goes to Pilates.
Is probably into philanthropy.
Probably on a couple pills. Eat Caesar salad.
Oh my God, loves the salad. Probably dressing on the side though.
Dressing on the side, no croutons.
No croutons.
Just love women, support women.
Love them, support them, embrace them in a non-sexual way.
In a non-sexual, I was just going to say that.
They don't say it and they don't imply it, but there is a woman, a young woman in the group of HQs on the left that could be a poor man's Christy Livingstone. Do you think that they are faking Christy Livingstone? Do you think she was the HQ last year and that's supposed to be her?
Let's go with that, because I love that context. I love that backstory. I love that callback.
I saw her and I was like, oh, that could be Allie Larder. And then I was like, And I wrote it all in my head that it could be her, meant to be her.
I'm sure Christy Livingstone was HQ. I did think of you when I saw Mr. Milo. So Mr. Milo.
Oh my God. Is the one who introduced- that is my number one note. My top note was Mr. Milo is back. And he's really only back for that little scene. That scene.
Yeah.
I love that they brought him back for that.
Would you make out with Mr. Milo as like a curiosity?
If it came about in a non-creepy way, if we just came upon it, if we were just exploring through the woods together and stumbled upon a make out, yes. If he wasn't pushing himself on me.
Well, he's not that kind of guy. He's a great guy, first of all.
I think he's probably 5'5".
We love a short king. We love a thick king.
We love an Irish man.
We love an Irish king.
He's all of the above.
We love a short, thick Irish king. We love a thick glassed man. His glasses are so thick.
Coke bottles.
Take them off, baby. I'll be your eyes. Mr. Milo is so cute.
I love him. He's like, Jen, let's chat.
I just know he has whiskey sweating out those pores.
Oh my God.
I am so triggered by Bessie and Joey's, not window panes. What are they called? What are the things called? Shutters. They're shutters. They're shutters.
Because they're colors?
They are flowers. It looks like Pee-wee's Playhouse. Not everything needs to be like hand painted. Bessie, reel it in.
Look, they're quirky.
I just can't anymore.
I do see that. And I did not clock that.
Oh my God. It's all I could see. Also, did you notice like the water well pump in their yard? Like, what is happening at the Potter house? Is this Little House on the Prairie or is it Cape Side? I don't know what's happening.
Do you think that Joey's going to get a bedroom with this renovation, or is she still going to be on the couch?
Oh my God. Is she on the couch?
She's on the couch.
Poor thing. Some of those police guys are hot.
Speaking of hot, Joshua Jackson, when he realizes that, you know, Joey's trying to not tell him that it was Andy that went on a date with Rob. And he's like, come on, Potter, you know, you're a bad liar. Let's whatever. And the moment that he realizes it, it's very, you know, Joshua Jackson face acting. He's not over the top. He's just very, he's great.
He's devastated. You know what I meant to bring up? You know what I love about this episode is that Pacey and Joey are just friends in this episode and no one's crushing on each other. No one's hating on each other. This is just an episode. It's a rare episode where they're just friends and they're great friends.
It is, but this is later in my notes, but I wanted to ask you, like, there is one moment, and I did not detect any flirting or any sexual tension when they're in scenes together, but when Andy says they're back together, Joey kind of turns away for a minute, and it was very hard to tell what was on her mind, and I wanted your take on that. Do you think that she, what do you think she was going through there?
Yeah, I agree. I think there was something there.
Like, do you think it was her being like having feelings about Pacey in a weird way that she didn't understand yet? Or was it her not wanting Andy and Pacey? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was a twinge of jealousy there, but not. It was so nuanced and subtle. I actually loved it.
No, it was great.
But I just love this episode because I don't remember them like this. You know, I remember them as like hating each other or crushing on each other or dating. Yeah. So I just love them as friends, and they are good friends. And like, he can read that when she's lying, and because they do have that history, they have so much history, but not really a history of friends. And I really liked seeing them in scenes together where they're just platonic. It was really nice. It was really refreshing.
They're super cute. He wants to help her. She wants to help him. She wants to protect him from this information about Aunt. Like, it's like, they're just friends. Exactly as you said.
The opposite question now. Andy has a reaction when she finds out that Joey and Pacey are hanging out a lot. She's like, you guys had breakfast together? And then she kind of orchestrates this big event to get some attention from Pacey. So do you think she was jealous of Joey and Pacey?
I do. I do think, but I think it could have been literally anyone spending too much time with Pacey. Like, I don't think it was her picking up on vibes between them. And then, you know, like, I think it could have been any girl saying they were with Pacey before school. But I was curious too, like, she didn't know, or did she know that Pacey was going to be with Joey when she called from the party? When Andy called Joey upset at the party, did she know that Joey and Pacey were going to be together?
It's hard to say because Joey does say, you know, Pacey's been helping me out with the renovations at the house.
So she probably assumed it would get back to him, but maybe not knew that he was going to be there, kind of thing.
Maybe she assumed Joey would call Pacey if they weren't together. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Like, it's a very rocky Andy-Joey episode. Andy's questioning Joey a lot. Joey's coming off the last episode very against Rob, and it's intentional. The writers kind of knew where things were headed, I suppose, but this was the first time that I clocked, like, oh, this is a really weird vibe. Like, they end the episode embracing and Joey's comforting Andy, but really the whole episode is very tumultuous.
Yeah, they're coming off last week's episode. It's a good, like, Joey-Andy friendship arc, little story arc that they have going. Because they are good friends, you know, they ran together in student council last year. They had a few moments. Joey went to pick up Andy from the mental institution in the premiere. Like, they do have a friendship. So I like that they did this little friendship story with them.
But it's rocky.
But yeah, it's a big carryover from last year. There's tension. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
We didn't talk about Gail.
Gail's back.
Gail's back, baby.
Praise God. Where would we be without her? We wouldn't have a title of this podcast, Know That. Yeah, she's just very sprinkled throughout this episode. You know, she comes back, she says she's here for the gala. At the gala, Dawson, the town gossip, says, oh, Gail, I'm so sorry about what happened. I heard you got fired from the Philly news station because you're too old and the viewers weren't relating to you. And then Dawson's like, I think you should be friends with Dad and tell Dad. And then in the closing montage, you just see Gail and Mitch talking on the porch. So she's sprinkled throughout. But yeah, Gail's back. We're excited. We love that.
And no one is shocked that Gail was a homecoming queen.
No one.
Not a soul.
Gail is our queen. She has a little new little bob.
Let's talk about Constance.
Jen and Miss Constance are just not getting along. Miss Constance is an old, rich woman, never married, didn't have children. She loves wallpaper. She loves old photos.
She loves Hank.
She loves Hank. That's what she calls Henry. She calls him Hank. So she's like, my houseboy, Hank. Jen has no idea who she's talking about.
You keep saying houseboy. I think she said handy boy.
Oh, not that did that's she?
Better, but
I thought she said houseboy.
Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, I've been wrong before.
Wait, let's look. My handy boy. She does say handy boy. Hank is her handy boy.
Like handyman, handy boy.
So Hank picks his stuff around the house. Turns out Hank is Henry. Jen doesn't know that. Jen and Constance are butting heads. Jen doesn't want to do the stupid gala. Constance is offended, outraged.
She was like, most people would die to be here, actually. Everyone who comes through these doors is thrilled. Jen's like, well, I'm not most people.
Jen's like, not me, bitch. You got the wrong one. You got the wrong one. Jen runs outside. Of course, Henry falls from the sky. There's a bee's nest. They go to the greenhouse. They flirt a little bit. They get to know each other.
Henry falling off the roof is something special.
Classic. Henry gets Jen to kind of see things from Constance's point of view. You know, he says, she's my neighbor. I do work for her. I think I'm her best friend. She never married. She never had kids. She lives for like two things, this event and one other. So I think you should give her a break. So Jen decides to kind of give her a break. And Constance is like, what do you want to be in charge of? You know, this. And Jen says entertainment. And Miss Constance is like, okay, no rap, no this. Gives her a lot of parameters, a lot of rules. Jen and Henry end up showing up to the gala.
Well, then Jen says, what Hank doesn't know is that he's going to be my date. And she's finally throwing him a bone, which is very cute.
Yes. What I feel like we didn't see was, I feel like there was a cut scene. A scene on the cutting room floor where Jen and Henry did their outfits. Do you agree?
Yeah, they don't ever really touch on their outfits. They're wearing like weird pirate goth outfits. And like maybe it's just to be edgy and to piss her off. But it feels like it was a little bit of story behind what they were wearing. And we didn't get that.
Yeah. It's like a Romeo and Juliet, kind of a Shakespearean era kind of thing.
The beans are spilled, as you said, about Gail getting let go from her Philly job. And they're like, you could be on our airwaves anytime. And what do we think Gail's plan was there?
I don't know what the plan was. I think she's going to slowly tell Dawson and Mitch the truth, but she gets outed.
Yeah, she tries to avoid it. She tries to run away from that guy, but she can't. So as you said, Jen was in charge of entertainment, and in come the drag queens, whose names are
Amanda Reckonwith, Summer Clearance, Megan Whoopi, and Miss Christy Annity.
Love it.
And we love them. and they start performing It's Raining Men. Everyone's actually loving it, except for Miss Constance, who facially is horrified, but underneath the table, she's tapping her foot.
And by the end, she's completely loosened up. The crowd is into it. We come back after their initial performance, and everyone is loose. There's a conga line. People are having the time of their lives. Jen has shaken up the HQ ball.
Yeah, and she says later, you know, there's no difference between a drag queen and a homecoming queen. You know, they're just, it's people who dress up. It's people pretending to be something they're not. It's playing a role. So that's the point she was trying to make. She was trying to kind of poke a hole in this event that looks down on other people, but it's the same and it's performative. And people loved it. People were up there dancing with those queens. And I just love that the show was so ahead of its time. You know, I do feel like it was ahead of its time at this.
Love it.
And Henry even says that he has the hots for Miss Christianity.
Yeah, that was cute.
So Henry's open. Henry's a freak. He's out here wanting to have sex with these drag queens.
And he has such big pillowy lips. Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
They're like what every girl wants, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. He's got those pouty lips.
Like, I feel like someone has brought a picture of him to their filler appointment and said, this is what I want. Give me the Michael Pitt.
Give me the Michael Pitt. Oh my God. It's like, I want a celebrity. I want a famous face. Do you remember that show?
Yeah.
So Jen and Miss Constance have like a download. They both basically say they had more fun than they thought they would tonight. You know, Constance liked the modern take that Jen took. Jen says, you know what? I could see why you love this. I could see it. I can get into it, you know. And that's when Constance tells a story about how she, you know, was brokenhearted when she was 17 by a man who left her for another woman. And that's why she never married. She never had kids. That's why all this is so important to her, because she doesn't have anything else. And she says to Jen, don't lead Henry on. And so Jen says, I just want to be friends because you're 15 and you have to experience heartbreak.
Stop projecting. Constance, I'm sorry that a weirdo proposed to you in a cemetery on the day of his mother's death and then led you on, but that's not everybody's story. Go to therapy. It's not that man's fault that you never married.
Yeah, heartbreak at 17 is an interesting thing to hold on to, but you know what? Times were different then, okay? There were no dating apps. She says he dumped me for the woman who sold him a Cadillac and he drove off to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I mean, she did okay for herself. She lives in a mansion.
Yeah. I would say yes if someone proposed to me in a cemetery on the anniversary of their mom's death. I don't think proposing in a cemetery is like a deal breaker.
It's weird.
Proposed to me anywhere, I'm saying yes.
Probably gonna say yes.
Like, let's seal the deal right here on your mom's grave. She's looking up at us, honey.
Henry says he thinks he's in love with Jen. And again, I say he's never had a conversation with her. Obviously, he has in this episode. But last episode, he couldn't even talk to her. And he thinks he's in love with her. And that annoys me.
It's called love at first sight.
It's not. It's him projecting everything he wants Jen to be onto Jen. And that's not fair.
Well, don't you think it's a sign of his age? You know, like when you're younger and you think of love.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Totally accurate. I'm just saying, as an old decrepit woman, a woman the age of Al Bundy.
An old crone.
That it's incorrect. And she tells him that they're friends and it breaks his little heart and that's sad.
Sure. I mean, I see both sides. I don't know why she's so vehemently turning him down, but I also don't know why he's so kind of head over heel. I mean, obviously, it's just lust for him, but...
No, I agree. I think that she thinks she doesn't like him, but she just doesn't know him. So I don't know why she isn't open to hanging out with him. She's just kind of like, no, it's not reciprocal. And it's like, yeah, well, you don't know each other. That's why it's not reciprocal.
Yeah. I like the greenhouse set. I like kind of like the greenhouse backdrop. I think that's cool.
And I'm glad that Miss Freckling has a hobby. She's good with those orchids.
She's growing those plants, honey.
Those are not easy to care for.
No. And I love that Jen is basically like, look, taking a cue from RuPaul. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Preach.
So Andy is essentially, well, she's very upset. She calls Joey, who is with Pacey, and they go to this party. And she says, Rob started kissing me. He wouldn't take no for an answer. You know, nothing beyond that happened, but he was just very aggressive with her. And Pacey goes into the party. He punches Rob out. And Rob is like, what are you talking about? I didn't touch her. Pacey takes Andy to his boat, True Love. And she kind of does the hard press. Like, why are we not together? I love you. You love me. I messed up. Why are we not together? And do you think they hooked up that night, or do you think they just had a kiss, or what do you think?
I don't know. I had that on my list of questions for you. Like, I bet they just kissed and talked on the boat. That would be my guess. What do you think?
I think they had sex.
You do? On the boat, in the car? Where do you think they went?
I guess on the boat, but I think that's why the next day he's like, he has such a look on his face, like, what have I done? Kind of a thing. And I don't think he would have that over a kiss. I think he's like, oh my God, I made a horrible mistake. I maybe let her on. What have I done?
Interesting. I definitely didn't think that in 1999. I can see it now for sure, but I don't know. I love his striped sweater.
Oh, that was so like American Eagle. So of the times.
The scene with Andy and Pacey on the boat before they kiss, that was brutal to me. Like the two people who are no longer together, one of which wants to get back together, that whole dynamic. I feel like I've been there and it's very uncomfortable and hard as the person who knows that you should not get back together. It's hard to be that person and like stand your ground.
Which side were you on?
I was a Pacey, yeah. And I did get back together and I stayed together for like another 6 months. It's hard when there's that history there of like, I know that this isn't the right thing, but also I love you kind of thing.
Yeah, I've never been on either side, so I don't know. But I love this episode. It gave us some good Joey Andy scenes. They, you know, Joey suspects Andy of crying wolf. She pries a little bit. She's like, why aren't you more upset? Did you just completely forget about everything that happened last night? And Andy's like, look, it's not all bad. Like, Pace and I are back together. And like you said, Joey's like, wait, what? I mean, we won't talk about like how Andy's kitchen is completely different from last year's kitchen.
We will never talk about that.
We won't talk about how the McPhees had a renovation between seasons. But Andy's cooking that pasta.
And Joey's like, your water's boiling, but there's no, it's a opaque pot, opaque lid. I'm like, how do you know, Joey?
And then Andy brings Pacey a captain's hat and some dock ciders. And Pacey looks like a fool in the captain's hat, but we love him.
And that was another brutal conversation of like, they're talking through boat metaphors and how, you know, the boat was totaled and maybe it will never be what it was before. And Andy is like, can we stop talking about the boat and like talk about us? And he said, even if you wanted to sleep with him for just a moment, maybe that was your heart telling you that I'm not the one. And she's like, what? And he's like, and my heart is telling me that you're not the one. Whew.
Which is really sad as a Pandy fan. Yeah.
Brutal.
I wish the show had a deeper arc and a vision for Andy, whereas like, look, if she's not gonna end up with Pacey, that's fine. Like, what was next for Andy? I feel like they never really got there.
No, she was, yeah, it was always very Pacey focused.
Yeah, I just wish, you know, if they weren't gonna dabble in Pandy more, they just had something else for Andy, because she kind of floats for a little bit. And I just want something more for my girl.
Yeah, you are her, she is you.
Even though she got really bad bangs this episode.
Really bad. And they age her, I feel like. Like last season, we know that she's the oldest cast member. And I feel like last season she was pulling it off. And this season, the haircut's not helping.
It sure isn't. Let's talk about Jen and Henry's little breakup scene where she's like, you're 15. And he's like, well, she says you need to go experience life and heartbreak. And he says, well, like, what do you know? Because like, you've clearly never been in love because I'm here telling you I love you and you're pushing me away. So, and she says, you know, you need to love myself before I can love anyone. And then he says, you know, that heartbreak you wish I had experienced. Well, guess what? I just did. And it's cute and it's sad. And then we have a little closing montage. Like, I love a montage moment. Pacey's fixing up his boat. Joey's comforting Andy. We're like, maybe Andy just confessed she made it up. Henry's walking along Cape Side, very heartbroken. Mitch and Gail are bonding. Can't remember what Dawson's doing.
No, is he even in it?
Or does he see his parents bonding? Maybe he sees his parents bonding. That's where the episode ends. And solid episode.
Really good episode.
Entertaining episode. We had drag queens. Come on. Come on.
And as mentioned at the top of the episode, the montage starts with Jen stumbling upon Constance and the drag queens doing shots around the table after hours. And that I just need more of that. She's wearing her tiara.
The gala was a success.
It was a success. And we can only assume that Jen will attend every year from here on out. She's an HQ.
She's an HQ, honey.
She shook it up.
I just love season three. I'm having so much fun.
Truly. Love.
Because season two, I do think season two is my favorite, as we've discussed, but it definitely has like a darker, dramatic kind of a vibe, which we all know that I love. But season three is just so fun.
Yes. New energy, renewed. It feels like they put everybody in a bag and shook them up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it before, but the Andy Pacey of it all in season two, I remember feeling anxiety as I watched it the first time around. Like, it was good, but I was like, oh man, this is heavy. And here we are.
Yeah. Well, what you watching?
Well, I have finally binged the new season of The Circle, which I know you don't love as a show in general, but I love it. I love it.
Isn't there a celebrity on this season, or was that last season?
No. Two of the Spice Girls have been on it. They were like playing a team together, and Lance Bass's assistant was on it.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. I knew there was like a celebrity connection.
Yeah. This season, it was all normies. It was a pretty good season. The big twist this season is that they had an AI player. So it was literally just a box in a room that played for like 2 days. And then they let the contestants know that one of the people was AI, and they had to figure out who was AI, and they didn't. They ended up voting out a real person. Wow. I think it's a great show. Not all seasons are created equal, but I would definitely recommend it if you need like a stupid, easy game show watch.
I'll try again, because there are people in my life, like people I haven't talked to in like 2 years. I'll get random texts from people being like, do you watch The Circle? And I'll say no. And they're like, oh my God, it's so you. It reminds me of you. You should watch it. You know, like a lot of people have told me about The Circle. I'll give it a whirl. You know what I really want to watch? That show on ABC, Claim to Fame. I think it's like hosted by the Jonas Brothers, where it's like celebrities, family members, and you have to like figure out who or something.
Current show?
Yeah. It's a summer show. I think it comes on every summer.
I don't know anything about it.
I think it's a bunch of like family members move into a mansion, and then you have to like figure out their connection, or I don't know.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, I am watching, and by watching, I mean obsessing over Love Island US. And the background information is that I loved Love Island UK for a long time. They did a US reboot. I hated it. Like every season I would tune in, and it just didn't feel the same. And for some reason, this season is just like popping off. It is so good. I'm obsessed. I can't wait for it to come out. It comes out, I think, six nights a week? Yes. Well, I think they take Wednesdays off, and then there's one like recap episode. So 5 episodes a week total.
Damn.
Yes. Well, anyway, it's really good, because there's just so much chaos. There's just, usually the show has to kind of interfere and create all these obstacles and drama, because they do a lot of like truth-telling challenges and things. But this year, the contestants are just up, down, have feelings for this one, that one, the next one. They're dumping.
Love.
Good. It's good. And they do have some international cast members this year, so it kind of gives it that Love Island UK feel.
That's good to know. I feel like everyone I've talked to loves the original, so maybe this will get some people to tune into this season.
Yeah. And the villa looks more like the Love Island UK villa. But anyway, good trashy reality, realness.
Well, tonight, something I can talk about next week, we have plans to watch Anyone But You. Is that what that movie's called?
It's the best movie of the year. It's a wrap.
I know that you loved it, so we're going to watch it. Yeah, Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
It's amazing. Oscars. We just rewatched it, and we decided like that's going to be the new movie that we put on when we're like, you know, our new like feel-good rewatch movie.
Amazing. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
So next week's episode, episode 307.
Escape from Witch Island.
A classic in Dawson's lore. What are we going to be drinking for that one?
We'll be drinking the witch. You will need red wine, apple cider, cranberry juice, and then whatever fruit you have laying around. They recommend oranges, apples, and blackberries, but we're basically making a sangria. So whatever you want to throw in there works for us.
Yeah, so it's dead of summer, but we're getting a jump on like a good fall sangria. If you like it, you can make it again.
Love a sangria.
I start celebrating fall, like, you know, as we've discussed, we're Labor Day fall people, right? Like, we used to take this trip every year to Palm Springs Labor Day weekend, and we would start watching horror movies that weekend, and that was the weekend that we kicked off fall.
And it was basically 110 degrees when we did that, so.
We would crank the AC and get under covers and watch Scream. So get a jump on your fall drinks.
Love it.
Things start to take an interesting turn, shall we say, as far as putting things in the bag and mixing it up, as you just said.
That's what we call a tease in the biz.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that. That's what we call a tease. Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.